In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Considering the current situation we all face, I can't help but think about all of the things we usually do during this Lenten season, particularly Holy Week. We come together. We have services where we reflect on the suffering of our Lord as we look to the celebration of His resurrection. But we are not together physically. We are having virtual services. Churches around the world will be empty this coming Sunday. This reminds me of Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Though written for the Christmas season, the sentiment of this work rings true today more than ever. After the Grinch attempted to steal Christmas by taking the presents away from Whoville, he was surprised to hear the singing of every Who in Whoville because Christmas was not about the presents. We know that Christmas is about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the same way, though we are not able to gather as we usually do, the agony of death and the glory of resurrection still ring true. Though we are not physically together, God the Holy Spirit binds us together as we follow Christ's command and example. Later in John 13, from where we read today, and as was declared earlier during this prayer time, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment. John 13:34 states, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." But when we look at this commandment, what makes it so new? When we look back at the Old Testament, we see that Leviticus 19:9 tells us, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." This command extended beyond how they treated other members of Israel. It even highlighted how their behavior was to impact the sojourner, who was not of their people. So when Jesus notes this as a new commandment, the newness comes from how Jesus tells his followers to love in the same manner as he loves. So how has he loved us? When reading through John's gospel up until chapter 13, the word love has only been attributed to Jesus twice. It was regarding his love for Mary and Martha and for Lazarus. Now we see that Jesus, in this portion of the text, raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, the last time I checked, raising someone from the dead was not on my list of accomplishments. But when I get to John 13, the gospel declares, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." As Jesus is approaching death, knowing that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, he loved his disciples. During a time at which many of us would say it is okay to be selfish, Jesus continues to act on behalf of others. Here, John reveals to us the practical manner by which Jesus loves his disciples. He serves them. Within their culture, one of the primary modes of transportation was your own 2 feet. Well, wearing sandals everywhere and having dusty roads means that your wheels will constantly get dirty. So coming into someone's house for a meal, you needed your feet cleaned. Everyone would have known this, but there doesn't seem to be anyone around to do this. You see, the person who would normally have done this type of work would have been a non-Jewish slave. I mean, this was a job so low that a non-Jewish person would have to do it. And surely none of these dignified followers of the Lord were going to take a job so lowly. Instead, we see Jesus, the Lord and teacher, embody in his humanity what he had already done in his divinity. The God who became a human is also the Lord who becomes a servant. Here, Jesus rises from supper, lays aside his outer garments, takes a towel, and ties it around his waist. Here, the Lord demonstrates his love for his disciples by lowering himself to be their servant. This is what Jesus calls us to do. Now, let me give you fair warning. Not everyone will respond to your demonstrations of love in the same way. Sometimes people will gladly receive the love that you are giving through your actions. They will not question your intent beyond the fact that you are simply showing your love to them. This is how many of Jesus' disciples responded. Then you have the people for whom it might be difficult for you to demonstrate your love through service. These are the people I sometimes think of as EGR. I'll explain that in a moment. I once remember complaining to an older gentleman about a situation I was in where I said, "This person is just so hard to be kind to or to show love to. You do something just to be kind and he questions your motives. You try to be nice and he is mean." I remember hearing that man say, "Well, it sounds like you have an EGR guy on your hands." And I ignorantly asked, "EGR?" He simply said, "Extra grace required." These are the people like Peter and Judas. When looking at Judas, I am often perplexed at how Jesus would wash his feet. Judas, a man who would receive this demonstration of Christ's love, would go on to betray him. It is at these moments when I am reminded that Jesus loved him. It also reminds me that God demonstrated his love for me, and that while I was yet a sinner, he died for me. While I was his enemy, he died for me. So when you encounter those people who will receive from you, yet they hurt you, depend on the grace of God to empower you to love them. When you stop and think about it, God's love for us enables us to love all those around us, even those we think who are easy to love. Then you have people like Peter, the one who rejects the acts of love demonstrated toward him. You will find people in your life who will reject the acts that you perform in an attempt to simply show your love. For some people, no matter how much you try to reach out to them, they will reject it. From time to time, you might run into people like Peter who moved from one extreme to the other. I mean, Peter jumped from, "You will never wash my feet," to, "Well, wash me all over." And in those situations, we need to be willing to continue to show love to those around us. No matter who you're serving, remember this. It is not up to you to determine how people respond to your demonstrations of love. You have the responsibility to follow Jesus' example of serving others and loving them to the end. When you stop and think about those EGR people, remember that we are all EGR people and require extra grace at different times. Our call to love as Christ loves demand that we be willing to love others as he did. Loving as Christ does demands humility. This sometimes means doing what no one else wants to do. Consider the fact that we were not made for death. Most people don't want to die. Jesus, on the other hand, he came to demonstrate the love of God to us by redeeming us from our sin. And he demonstrated that love to the very end by giving his life. We need to be like him. Loving as Christ does demands we remove the limits of our love. Sometimes this means we will have to pray for God's grace in demonstrating his love to those around us. You might need the patience that Jesus demonstrated towards Peter or the generosity he showed Judas. No matter the circumstances, each one of us must recognize that loving as Christ does demands that we demonstrate to the world what it truly means to follow Jesus. Immediately after saying, "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Jesus says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Though we are not able to participate in Holy Week as we usually do, we can demonstrate what it means to be people of God and live that out by following the way of the cross and obeying Christ's command to love one another. Amen.